Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh. Hello. Happy Tuesday, everyone, and welcome to ENN. We'll start off tonight's ENN by saying good evening to Michael.
Now, while good, not weep worthy, I think they've changed the recipe.
Okay.
Ugh.
What's that?
What's what?
What Don just said, ugh.
Well, you don't feel that way at the end of it? I don't need to hear Michael drooling and sucking it back into his mouth. Do you need to hear that? So close to dinner?
What do you have for dinner?
Tonight, pizza.
Yeah, hamburger. Oh, order?
Yeah.
Order it at home, or are you going to make it?
No.
We're gonna I'm a big meat guy.
We're going to go pick it up.
I got to tell you. Michael, can you imagine living like Don?
Oh, why do you always make me feel guilty?
Every day's the weekend.
There's only so much. Michael, you explained to him there's only so much the kids at this age are going to eat. And you can only do chicken fingers so much. You try a little rice, you try some different things, but they got to eat, Peter. And unlike, you know,
so
most
you guys
people,
are all locked into eating the same thing.
That's where I was going to go next, Michael.
Like Jody always complains. She feels like she's a short order cook. I mean, this stuff I don't eat. She eats everything. The kids are very picky. So there's like four different meals every night.
Yeah, but they're not at the stage yet where you can really ask them, what do you want for dinner? All right. We get like a lot of eclectic answers. You'll get donuts. You'll get chocolate.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those aren't options.
Right.
Okay. So you're kind of picking for them at this point, and it's just a lot easier to just say, all right, this is what we're going
to
do.
You have a great opportunity here, Don, to see if my theory is untrue. What did you have for lunch today?
I had a little leftover rice.
Okay.
Oh, that's filling.
And a buffalo chicken sandwich.
From where?
No, I get it at the supermarket. It's cold cuts, buffalo chicken.
Oh, buffalo chicken cold cuts.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
He knows how to live, you know, Pete?
He really does.
He's a very successful 58-year-old who lives like he's living in a dorm in college at sophomore year.
I really think I'm considering eliminating Last One Standing and just being at what did Don eat last night.
I've lost 7 pounds during
You look great.
The pandemic.
You look terrific. I'm not saying this is I'm not connecting this to how you look. I think you look great.
I think I can't wait for Peter to have children. I know he can't wait as well to see like some of the decisions, Michael, that have to be made, especially during these tough times.
Yeah, but you know, hold on, that's not fair because I'll give you some slack for dinner, but the kids won't. They're not a factor in you coming in, you know, to work with a big hoagie then for lunch. You might just stop on the way on the turnpike. On the Garden State.
Well, when we were at the studio?
Yeah.
He comes in with his roast beef hero slathered with butter.
Oh, my God.
Worst combo you could have.
Why?
No, it sounds delicious. I'm making dinner. I am attempting to, for the first time, I am baking chicken breasts because the gas is now back on in my building.
That's good.
So I am baking chicken breasts. I just put a little rub on them, made a little rub.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First I brined them. Never done that. Now, have you ever done that, Don?
No. The only thing I know brine was what Nolan Ryan put his thumb in when he was having blisters.
Well, apparently to brine them, and I'm sure I'll get 90,000 corrections now, but from what I can tell, it's really to just kind of take salt water, make a bowl of lukewarm salt water and put them in that for a while and then take them out to retain the juiciness when you cook them.
How about the juiciness of ENN with some sports? What do you
No. I want to stay with the chicken for a while. Also, I have to say good evening to Don.
I don't do college.
Well, guys, there is a lot going on in the sports world today. I'm glad we're doing it in today because there's so many stories. First and foremost, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Don's favorite player in the NBA, Damian Lillard.
That's right. The logo.
Why is he your favorite?
Because he plays on my favorite team.
Why are they your favorite team?
I'll never reveal that.
So, Portland currently in ninth place, 3.5 games out of the playoffs. And he said to Yahoo Sports that he will be there and support his team no matter what, but he's not going to play in the NBA's regular season if the Blazers don't have a fair shot, as he sees it, in moving into the postseason picture. Quote, if we come back and they're just like, we're adding a few games to finish the regular season, and they're throwing us out there for meaningless games, and we don't have a true opportunity to get in the playoffs, I'm going to be with my team because I'm a part of the team, but I'm not going to be participating. I'm telling you that right now, and you can put that bleep in there, he said via phone.
Well, that last part was unnecessary, but I understand his feeling. Why do you think the NHL's doing what they're doing?
Yeah, but because, that's all well and good, Don, but you can't say you're part of the team. If the team has to play, then you have to play.
Yeah, but I think he's trying to make a statement. And again, this is why ultimately I think there will be a chance for them to make the playoffs, or they just won't finish up the regular season and just go with the 16 they have, is all the things you've been talking about, Michael. How do you drag teams and players from all over the world, in some cases, back, go through a training camp to play like a measly five games that aren't going to help you get into the postseason? So that's why the NHL did what they did. People could say, oh, they wanted to get the Rangers and the Blackhawks involved in Montreal for television ratings. Yeah, that might be part of it, but the other part of it is, do you want to finish the regular season, give teams that are really close a chance by having them play teams that are completely out of it, go through a three-week training camp, get tested every 2 days, be sequestered into a place for a certain amount of time just to play a measly five games and then go back home and say thanks?
Yeah, but, I mean, he said there has to be a legitimate chance. So let me ask you this. What, they're 3.5 games out, right, Peter?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they come back to play five games. Does he think that's legitimate?
As long as it's mathematical,
it's legitimate.
Yeah, but is it legitimate? Because, again, you're talking about 3.5, so is that really four or
making
is it three?
Making up four in five games is
you're not
going to
do it. You're likely
legit.
Not going to do it. And I'm telling you, Michael, they're not going to force. Because, like, Portland's in a situation where maybe, but Portland's got to play somebody, so that might mean they might have games against other teams that are even worse shape than they are. I can't kill them for feeling that way, can you?
Don't show up. Don't say, I'm going to show up because I'm part of the team. You're not part of the team. If they're going to play, you're not part of the team. It's total eyewash if you just show up and sit on the bench.
But I think when push came to shove, he must know that this threat is either going to include them or knock them out, that they're not going to have to play those meaningless games. The one thing about the NBA is that their significant players have a say. He was on the list of guys that wanted to play again. Remember that tweet, Peter? It was like LeBron, Curry, there was like a bunch of guys, and he was one of them. But that's why the NHL's doing what they're doing, to include teams that didn't most likely have a shot, so that you can include the teams that did have a mathematical possibility of going. Otherwise, how are you going to get a Red Wing to come back and play? How are you going to get a Knick to come back and play? Or a Hawk to come back and play? You're not. So don't you think this has a little bit of say because it's actually a team that might have a shot?
Are you saying the animals or the players?
Both.
Like, as a Red Wing, getting a Hawk to understand what's been... Anyways. Hey, so let's keep it in basketball, but go back in time, shall we?
Shall we?
Let's get into the time machine.
Let's.
There's a new podcast, The Dream Team Tapes. And in that podcast, they revealed some audio from a 2011 interview where Michael Jordan talks about Isaiah Thomas being left off the Dream Team. Listen closely.
And they called me to ask me to play. Rob didn't call. I said, Rob, I won't play with Isaiah Thomas on the team. He assured me, he said, you know what? Chuck that one, Isaiah. So Isaiah's not going to be a part of the team.
So that's Jordan saying that he told Rod Thorne, I won't play if Isaiah's a part of the team. And basically Rod Thorne says, don't worry about it. Chuck Daly doesn't want him to be a part of the team. So hold on. The conversation continues. Let's go to the Golic and Wingle from April 29th. And here's Rod Thorne discussing Jordan and his role in Thomas not being on the Dream Team.
I was the guy that called Jordan, and when I called Jordan, his first inclination was he didn't know if he wanted to play or not, because, as he said, I played on an Olympic team before, you know, with Bobby Knight in Los Angeles, and I like to play golf, and it's for the younger guys, as far as I'm concerned. So we continued the conversation, and at the end of the conversation, he said, "You know something? I'll do it." There was never anything in my conversation with him that had to do with Isaiah Thomas.
Somebody's fibbing.
Well, but again, I think it's understood. There's a guy that's not sure he wants to play. So you're going to do everything you can to convince him to play. So I'm not even sure they even had to ask him. How are you going to get him? I don't know. It's for the older guys. Which, how old was Jordan?
What was that? 92?
In 92? He was born in 63, so he was only 29.
Yeah, but he said that's for the younger guys. He didn't want to do it. I want to play golf. Then you know, if Isaiah's on this team, he's going to say no. So I think it was just so known that, I guess from a semantic standpoint, yeah, it was because of Jordan, but you probably didn't even have to ask him. You knew he wasn't going to play if Isaiah was on the team.
Well, guys, speaking of the Dream Team, there was a member of the Knicks on the Dream Team.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing. And Patrick, the Hall of Famer and current head coach at Georgetown, has told Woj that he has returned home after spending the last weekend hospitalized with coronavirus. Patrick Ewing Jr. tweeted that his father's symptoms are being watched, but that he's home and getting better. The 57-year-old and 11-time NBA All-Star was the only member of the Georgetown program to test positive for the virus, but Patrick says he's going to be just fine.
Where's he?
Scary.
Where is he? Is he in the Georgetown area still?
Yeah. He's a coach at Georgetown.
I know, but he's not.
Did he ever fully leave?
Yeah.
He. I wonder if he kept a place there though. Like when I was a kid,
what, a dorm room?
No. Yeah, he stayed in a dorm through his entire adult life. No, all I'm saying is, when I was like, what year did Roadhouse come out? Don, 91, 90?
91. I'll look it up. I'm going to say 91. I'm going to go on record 91.
I've told you this story before, but we have new listeners all the time. I went to go see a movie at Mazza Gallery in
89, by the way.
So 89?
Yeah.
I went to go see a movie at Mazza Gallery in 1989. I forget what I went to see. Is it possible it was Major League?
Yes.
And someone said, Patrick Ewing is here right now. And I was like, oh my God, where? And they went, he's went to see Roadhouse. So I stuck my head in the Roadhouse Theater, and sure enough, I saw his long, craned neck sticking up in the middle of the movie theater. My point is, if Patrick Ewing was going to the movies in D.C. in 1989, and he lives there now, maybe he's always been back and forth to the D.C. area. I don't know.
I just want to know where he contracted it, that's all.
At Roadhouse. Sorry.
Roadhouse is a tremendous guilty pleasure. It's not a well-done movie, but I get sucked in every time it's on.
What's it about? It's a very sexual movie, no?
No, it's just he's a cooler at a bar.
What does that mean?
He's the guy that runs all of the bouncers.
I'm writing this down on my list, too. Don, I'm putting this on my Don LaGreca list of movies.
It's good.
I just remember it was rated R, and it said for sexual things, so I wasn't able to see it. And as you can imagine, that didn't make me want to see it less.
I think the only nudity that I remember, there was a little bit.
Swayze nudity?
You see his behind, yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Wow. Lucky us. I didn't even know. Now, rest in peace.
I'm taken aback that you never saw the movie.
I know. It's on my list now.
Michael, you've seen it, right? You didn't ingest it at all. It didn't register, but you did see it.
I don't think I ever saw it.
It's quality, man. It killed some time.
RJ, that might be a drop. Don's its quality man right there.
Did you hear, Peter, that Uncut Gems are now on Netflix starting on Sunday?
I heard. I've already seen it twice, so I'm going to lay out.
Another place I'm not going to see it.
It's really good, Don.
Wait, Don, you're not going to... Oh, come on, Don.
Don, no. It's really good.
No.
Tom.
Why no?
It's Netflix and chill.
You're not that anti-Francesa that you won't see it?
No, it's not that, really.
Then what is it?
It doesn't look appealing to me at all.
We're telling you it's good.
It's fantastic. I don't care.
I'm not gonna, now it's a thing. Now I'm not going to see it. For the same reason I'll never see Trainwreck. Ever. Because LeBron's in it. I get enough LeBron 4 hours a day. I don't need to go see him in a movie.
But Kevin Garnett, it's not like we're talking Kevin Garnett every day.
It's a Garnett vehicle.
It really, honestly, and this could be completely wrong, and I'm an Adam Sandler fan.
Are you?
I've been for years.
It looks like he's trying too hard. I'm good.
He's brilliant.
No.
He should have been nominated for an Academy Award.
It looks like he's trying too hard. You got to see it. He's amazing.
I'm sure I'm dead wrong.
Just see it.
I'm sure I'm dead wrong. I'm not going to see it. I'm good.
So what's wrong with you?
You know what I started watching, Peter, over the weekend?
What?
Fleabag.
Ooh, I'm interested. How is it?
It's weird, but she happens to be very funny in it. It's filthy and vulgar. You'll love it.
I'm going to watch Fleabag. I started Downton Abbey. A little slow.
Why?
Because my brother...
I mean, I liked it, but why?
My brother has always told me it's so great, and tell me if you agree with this logic. I've always held off, and my brother said, it's a good thing to watch right now because it's light and it just feels good. It's not overly intense. It's just a nice watch. You'll just enjoy it.
That was his logic. Falling in love with Mrs. Patmore.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She an attractive lady?
Patmore.
She's the lady downstairs that does all the cooking.
Speaking of which, let's go to Stephen Ross, who was on CNBC talking about his love for Downton Abbey. No, he was talking about will there be football this season, the owner of the Dolphins. Let's hear from Stephen Ross.
I think there definitely will be a football season this year. The real question is, will there be fans in the stadiums? I think right now today, we're planning on having fans in the stadiums. But I think the NFL is looking at and is very flexible so that we will be able to start on time and really, you know, bring that entertainment that's really so needed to all of us in this country. I mean, I think there's one thing that we, you know, we really miss is our sports. And I don't think a lot of people realize it until they no longer have it. But certainly the NFL, I think, will be ready to go. And I think we're all looking forward to it. I know I am. We've done a lot of things down in Miami here. And we're prepared either way. And hopefully there'll be fans in the stadiums.
No major surprises there.
Yeah.
Yeah, very deep voice.
Very. Now, Florida's open for business. But even
they actually opened a drive-in theater at the Hard Rock Stadium, too.
Here's my prediction post-coronavirus, like in a positive
drive-ins
way.
Drive-ins are going to be huge.
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 Huge. It's going to be back, baby. And I got the tail end. Like, I remember seeing some, like, those old Disney movies, like, in drive-ins. I have a vague recollection of them. You
drive-ins
probably more
great.
So.
Great. They're great.
That's going to make a comeback, Peter. Invest money. If you have any money, invest in drive-ins.
And when we were young, Peter, if you went to the drive-in, you'd have to put this big, bulky metal thing in your car for the speaker. But now,
right. Just
you use your Bluetooth on your phone, and boom, you're set to go. You don't have to come in contact with anybody.
Right.
Beautiful.
Put the kids in the jammies.
Signed us up for a drive-in.
So there's one that opened up in Queens, in Astoria, I believe, but it's just impossible to get in.
Yeah, Nancy looked it up. There was a theater by us that actually had a poll. Like, there was 10 potential movies that they could have shown, and they put it, like, to a vote, and they were going to release the movie on May 27th, that's tomorrow, what movie it was going to be. So nobody knew. It was one in 10 shot that it was going to be a movie that maybe you wanted to see. 200 cars, without knowing specifically the movie, sold out in an hour and a half.
Yeah, you can play anything. You can play a test signal.
Well, wow. and some of the movies they have, I have zero interest in. A lot of kids' movies.
There's a place around where we live that has a big, like, grounds and everything. They're going to put up a big screen, and in 2 weeks they're going to have a drive-in, and it's going to be, I think, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That I'd be in for. No
doubt.
You
want to come in the car with us?
I'd consider it.
Well, you could sit in the trunk.
Troy Vincent is not happy with the launch of the pass interference replay. He's the league's executive VP of football operations, and he says the NFL failed miserably in its implementation of the pass interference replay reviews last season, and that such failure would serve as a cautionary tale for the league to not rush to rule changes in the future. It came as part of a broader discussion of the Sky Judge proposal, the addition of a booth umpire to each officiating crew, a modified version of which is set to be voted on during Thursday's NFL owners' video conference meeting. He said, we cannot fail this year. We saw a year ago when the pass interference rule played out, starting with myself, what we put in place last year. Those outcomes were not good for professional football. He's right. We all talked about it the entire season. The replay rule was a debacle.
But oh, it was terrible. It was implemented poorly. It seems like they got different signals. Don't call it, call it, don't call it. You never knew what signal it was that week. It was an embarrassment.
Right. They got fat hands. There's no question. But ultimately, I think it ended up being the right thing, Peter, because there was such an outcry to do something. So the NHL was smart. I mean, the NFL was smart to do it and then be able to take it back, kind of just show how you should not overreact to everything. Right? Because it was the championship game. We all knew that if it wasn't the championship game, nothing would have happened. But there was such an outcry, they felt that they had to do it. It was embarrassed. It crashed and burned, and now we can move on.
Don, Rick DiPietro, always helpful, just texted. He said, for the drive, and make sure you bring an extra child's car seat for Peter.
Say it, DiPietro!
You know, I got news for you. Am I fat, or am I the size of a baby? I think I'm just a fat baby.
I think Rick would say both.
Rick would say
I'm a fat. I would say neither.
You can't say you're fat anymore. You're emaciated.
I'm not. By the way, Michael, did you check out my prom throwback today?
I loved it, but what was going on with your hair?
It was the 90s. I had bangs.
No. Most of your hair was going one way, and then you decided to shove some bangs down on your forehead. It was hideous. Who let you get out of the house like that?
If one day in your wretched life, you woke up and looked in the mirror and looked like that specimen that you could see right now at Rosenberg Radio on Instagram that I was when I was 17.
I got to tell you what, you're much better looking now than you were then.
Oh, you're out of your mind. Don, did you see it?
Don, you got to look at the bangs. It's the most embarrassing picture I've ever seen anybody post.
Is it Twitter? Is it Instagram only?
Yeah, Instagram only.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can still go on your computer, Don. You can still just go to Instagram.com/Rosenberg Radio. It'll pop up.
It's all awful.
I look terrific. No, I can't believe you can say such a thing.
You get a free movie.
Right.
All right? But you got to download the app. I still have to download the app onto my computer.
Have it gone?
No.
It takes some time.
Wait, do you have dial-up in your house? I mean, what are you doing? No,
they don't even have, like, the TV, like, in the back of the seat.
Welcome.
I thought there was a possibility that I had the app.
You don't have an Instagram app. I'll send
it. I got it on the phone. My
you've
God.
Got mail.
This better be good.
Well, it's not good. It's hideous.
Well, Peter begs to differ.
I still have to download the app onto my computer.
By the way,
I don't know if you've got Eli in your ENN.
Where's your Snapchat, Don?
Then he's on Twitter now. I don't think it's him.
It is him. And you know why it's him?
But he's not tweeting.
Well, no, his tweets on Saturday during the golf seemed legit.
No.
No?
I think somebody's tweeting for him.
Well, you know what?
Because the one had all of the hashtag red hot. Like, come on. He's not doing that.
He's
he doesn't
paid
jump
for that. That's
he doesn't
he
jump from not doing it to all of a sudden having game. He's getting major help.
Well, I thought that Brady had a great line on him. Just like you, Eli. You only show up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. How to work out for him.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know how to feel about this picture.
It's really?
It's hideous. First of all, I've never seen a young man, and this does not mean that Joe Girardi's hideous. You don't like Joe Girardi here. But Joe Girardi had the sense
that
bangs like that.
I do think you have to take yourself to that time.
Thank you, Don. It's 1997.
And what was in the glass that you emptied there?
A water, I'm sure. I didn't drink.
So, I mean, it didn't age well. I'll say that.
How dare
I'm
send
you? It out on my, oh,
I think I look tremendous.
You know for what? 1997. You couldn't pull that
God
off now.
God saw what you looked like then and said, yeah, you know what? He's not using hair the right way. I'm taking it away.
That's bold. But if I saw that in 1997, I'd go, that's solid. That's a good look. Thank but you, he Don. Wouldn't be able to do that now.
No, I wouldn't try to do it now. You know what? Listen,
you look fantastic in the picture below.
What?
With the Janet Jackson T-shirt.
Oh,
you look
yeah.
tremendous there.
That's right now. That's real life. I'm not 40. That doesn't look like a 40-year-old man, does it, Don?
No, that looks like a 31-and-a-half-year-old.
Thank you very much. God, you're really doing great things for me right now.
You know what? You just got support from DiPietro. He said feathered bangs were beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Every once in a while, you make a salient point.
Save DiPietro!
We mentioned Eli. Let's get into Tiger Watch, shall we?
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
And guess what? Tiger did win. Him and Peyton Manning knock off Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. Pretty easy, too. They were in control basically the entire match. And a win for Turner. It's the most viewed golf tournament in the history of cable television. An average 5.8 million viewers across four different networks came in to watch the match, Champions for Charity. It did very well, raised $20 million for COVID-19 relief. And we got to watch Charles Barkley talk trash to Tom Brady as he then cupped a shot from, like, what was it, 130 yards? Absolutely ridiculous moment that Tom Brady is the only man who could play a horrible round of golf on national television and then literally hit one of the best golf shots you'll ever see on television. It was ridiculous. But a pretty good time, Don. I mean, it wasn't perfect TV at times. There were times it was a little rough. But in general, kind of
fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was fun.
It was difficult for a myriad of reasons for me. Number one, it was a really nice day. And I wanted to get the kids outside, but I tried to watch for this purpose here. It was difficult. But going back and reading about it, it looked like it worked. It's not necessarily for me. I thought it was a little slow and it was like tedious at times, especially in the rain. But overall, I think a golf fan got what he wanted. It was entertaining for the most part. It wasn't really for me, but I tried.
Can I tell you this though, Peter? You're not going to like this take.
Mm.
Can Tiger be more of a drip? He's the one guy that didn't contribute in terms of speaking.
He didn't offer anything fun, did he?
Nothing. And all, I mean, Peyton was hilarious. The more Peyton does stuff like this, you could see why he'd be a great
analyst. Yeah, you got to admit it. He's very good. And I got to tell you, even though I think he has a little nozzle sometimes, Brady was pretty fun.
He was fun. I thought so, too. And
every,
self-deprecating.
You know what? I want you to know this right now. I will never lie about the athletes I enjoy. You are completely right. Tiger was by far the least entertaining person there. He was there just for like the golf purposes and the cachet. He was not entertaining.
Look in the mirror a lot and go, thank goodness I can play golf.
Well, what do you mean? Because he has no
personality?
Because
he's not going to light up the room when he walks in. He's not that guy.
Noah Syndergaard is being sued by his landlord. He had an apartment set up in Manhattan, a penthouse, for $27,000 a month. He decided, of course, not to use it when the season got postponed, paid 2 months' rent, and now the landlord is trying to sue him for $250,000, to which Noah replied, "See you in court, pal." He believes he is in the right and has no fear of this landlord.
Well, since the apartment was in New York, I think he might have a case. But, you know, he also shot back about how the owners are trying to take money from the players, which was an awful look for him. He shouldn't have gone there. But we'll see.
The Japanese Prime Minister says that a vaccine is a priority for the 2020 Tokyo Games, which are now taking place supposedly in 2021. But Shinzo Abe says the swift development of vaccines and treatment for COVID-19 are priorities towards holding the Tokyo Olympics next year.
Let's hope they get those vaccines because the whole world needs it to return to normal.
God, that's true. And you know who actually, in a strange way, benefit from the Olympics being postponed, Peter? Like, where would all these NHL games go if the Olympics were going on? Like, NBC's going to be desperate for programming. They had allotted all this time for the Olympics, and now they'll be able to replace it like with all these hockey games.
Well, here's another problem, Donald. if hockey starts in December this year, the 2021 season, it's going to go right through the Olympics. So NHL players won't be able to play in the Olympics.
Well, they're not playing now, so they didn't play the last one.
And this one also, they had an agreement that they wouldn't play?
Yeah. They're not going to.
Well, then it's going to be programming up against the Olympics. Where's NBC going to carry the Stanley Cup?
Well, I don't know how deep. Like, if they. Like, I'm wondering, because the NHL seems to be committed to, like, waiting for fans to return, whether they're going to have a full. Would you have a full 82 game schedule? If you're going to start in December, January, how deep do you want to go again? You're right. If you got the Olympics and then you lose NBC, if you're going to go deep into the summer. I mean, I'm sure they'll find some place to put it, but it's not going to be like an NBC, right? You'd be watching these games on the NHL Network. That's not going to be good for anybody.
Hey, guys, Mike Tyson appeared on Lil Wayne's Young Money Radio on Apple, and Wayne asked him about the prospect of fighting and who it could be, and here's what Iron Mike had to say.
Is Holyfield going to be the contender?
Nah. We got many guys. Listen, we got so many guys that want to do this, man. Doing business with guys right now. You ain't going to believe it when the names and the names come out. Sometime this week, we're going to have the contract done. And whatever money we get, you know, it's to somebody else. I'm not going to make any money. You know, probably the company, my wife, she partners with me. She'll make some of her part. But my money is gone. I don't have no money for my percentage.
So, there you go. Mike,
well,
so,
what they offer him, $20 million for a bare knuckle fight?
So a bare knuckle fighting championship says they'd give Mike $20 million to compete in a fight.
And then they would also include something for charity. So the $20 million would go to him.
I cannot see him doing bare knuckle. That's he can't do that.
Why?
That's the one thing I don't want him to do. No.
Why?
It's too dangerous. You can't. I mean, bare knuckle, that's crazy. He doesn't.
Maybe
do
he
that.
Gets into one of those slap contests that they have on TV all the time.
A ripoff from Hot 97, by the way.
Oh, really? You guys had that?
It started at Hot 97 many, many years ago. That was Ebro's claim to fame, was being the guy in the background holding the microphone during Smackfest.
I don't think he wants that as a claim to fame.
Oh, no. It was legendary at the time. Look on YouTube. Let's see. The ESPYs are going to happen. There's going to be a two-hour broadcast June 21st on ESPN. It's going to be celebrating heroism and humanitarian aid rather than honoring past top athletes. Russell Wilson, Megan Rapinoe, and Sue Bird will co-host. Lastly, Vince McMahon says in a court filing that he was not trying to buy back the XFL. He says it's unsubstantiated. And when the league filed for bankruptcy on April 13th, he was not trying to set up to buy it back for pennies on the dollar.
But he did also say that he had every right to if he wanted to.
Yes, and he said he considered it, but that he wasn't doing it. And guys, a legendary thing happened in hip-hop.
What?
On this day, 11 years ago.
Put your hands together for my motherfucking man, Andy's Half Jewish, ladies and gentlemen, Drake!
Yes, Drake's headlining show. At SOBs, hosted by yours truly.
I was going to say, that MC sounded very familiar.
Yeah. And do you like that as I'm bringing him out for his first big show in New York, that I added screaming, and he's half Jewish?
Yes. And you were potty mouth, too.
Well, it's a hip-hop show, Don. What am I supposed to do? What do you do? It's a concert, okay? I'm not hosting
it. I thought it was terrific.
Thank you, because I'm not hosting it for ESPN, where if I said, like, the A word, we'd have to dump the entire intro. No one would hear a word. If I didn't say please and thank you in the intro, the whole segment would be dumped. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
By the way, speaking of things that we can't say, I finished over the weekend. What's your friend's name? Judy Lip?
Judy Lipschitz Creek?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In tears. It was so good.
I told
I felt
you.
Like I lost a friend.
It was terrific.
It's so good.
Point.
I want to be friends.
Funny.
I want to be friends with Dan Levy. I just do. He seems like such a brilliant guy.
Do you mean the son?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. And he's
oh,
very
my goodness.
Talented.
Oh, is he talented.
Tremendous writer.
Let's get him on the show.
I'd love to, but I don't know if he's a real big sports fan. But
who cares? Does it really matter?
No, it doesn't. You're on the show.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.